The following is a presentation of WrestleChat.net and the CLW 83 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
For over 5 years, with over 250 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment.
And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present the NAWC, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
Not again.
Oh my God! Mae Young is in labor!
Mae is getting ready to give birth to the New Year's baby!
What?
Yes?
Oh my God, it's coming!
What?
Oh my God!
Oh, you know what, Michael? After watching that, I'm almost mad at the doctors in Canada for saving my life.
Oh my God.
As we enter 2013 with a splat. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection, our first show of 2013. My name is Nikki Heyman. I have some of the usual suspects here, hopefully, who didn't run away screaming from that intro. First, we will welcome back all the way on the West Coast, Ethan Muslin.
Can I take my head out of my head's mouth?
Ethan, speak to me, man. Speak to me.
He wants to get his head out of his hands.
Okay, well, I'll give him a minute to recover. We'll go all the way to the opposite coast to Tom Delgado.
Oh, why?
Yeah, we are off to a bad start, aren't we? And there is no other fourth but fourth.
And that sound clip was probably the end. Definitely the final moment of what I would call the year of the Gooker.
The good news is, that was last year. But I will do everybody a favor. Hold still. This won't take long. Brain bleach! Okay, gentlemen.
Sometimes I wish the Mayans were right.
And given King's comment about that segment, amused me no end, morbid though it may be. show was pretty
that
much another
said,
throwaway, much like they did with the Yays.
That being said, let's put it behind us, as it were.
But put it behind us, because we're going to be talking a little bit about some of the other goofiness that happened on the show. It was Champion's Choice Night, and this is where I first realized we've got mostly heels with titles right now.
We do. Wheelbarrow just got the Intercontinental Championship, as he liked to say.
Yeah.
Although I think with Hell No, you might be consider them more tweeners than heels or anything.
They're a lot closer to face than they are heel. And
yeah.
Just going down the list, Punk is heel, Show is heel, Cesaro is heel, Wade Barrett, he's very heel. Eve Torres, heel. Team Hell No, depends on the opponent.
Yeah.
So. I'm not going to go over specifics, and I have a disclaimer for that I haven't played in a while. Since we do not do recaps, if you didn't watch the show, that's your own damn fault. So, Big Show actually did a favor for Ricardo Rodriguez. or it didn't, it probably didn't feel like a favor, Tom, Big Show decided he would go ahead and give Ricardo a world title shot.
That sounds like the ultimate mismatch.
It was, but it allowed them to throw in an extra segment to try to keep pushing Del Rio in the face direction, where he said, you know, if you're going to do the intro, if you're going out there, you're going to do it right. He gives Ricardo his scarf and the keys.
Yeah, considering how Ricardo entered the Royal Rumble this previous year, yeah, he had to spice it up a bit.
So, yeah, Ricardo was, despite the fact he knew he was going to his death, he was very excited. And Tom is properly activated. Okay. And yes, this was a lamb to slaughter, as Big Show just had a lot of fun with it. This was to make up for the fact that the previous SmackDown, he offered it to Ricardo and then promptly punched his lights out.
Mm-hmm.
Punk was not competing, and he had brought his personal doctor from Chicago to inform everybody that no, he could not perform, which was backed directly by my dear Uncle Paul. Unfortunately, this would have to be a night that Mr. McMahon showed up. Oh, well, if Punk can't compete, then I guess you're going to compete, Paul.
Oh.
Fourth, this required me to check my dear Uncle Paul's last will and testament to see if I was going to get anything besides his debt.
Would you at least be entitled to the cell phone?
I'll probably get the cell phone, but I'll have to pawn it to clean up the financial mess.
Aww.
The good news is that that's not going to happen. In the second best use of tout outside of Lawler letting everybody know that he was okay, the WWE's badass doctor, he's got to be a badass doctor if his last name is Samson, actually sent a tout out that he personally evaluated Punk and he is good to go. It's actually some fun storyline, Ethan, because the meniscus tear he had was so minuscule, he was willing to TLC.
Yeah, he was good for it, wasn't he?
He said he would have worked it, and Vince is like, no, I need you intact for the Rumble so you can drop the title to Rock. Oh, did I say that out loud?
Oh. But, okay. Well, yeah, it seemed like that was a good way to go about it. Again, yeah, I've never seen much of the use for the tout. I mean, just pretty much, tout's pretty much become a social network B-roll if you want to think about it.
They've backed off severely on it because I don't see a lot of I don't see them using a lot of fan touts, probably because they're getting a lot of garbage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this is the internet.
Don't forget the rules of the internet always stand.
So I'm guessing they're just not getting anything useful or viable mm-hmm. to play with.
Yeah, so they're just like
never mind.
Yeah.
Let's see. Wade Barrett, in the only title change of the night, Barrett was able to take the Intercontinental Championship off of Kofi. Easy for me to say.
No, it's not even easy for you to say because remember you're talking about Wade Barrett,
who looks very good with gold on his shoulder. I was hoping for something bigger though.
Yeah, I think we all were.
Now, Kofi is essentially banging his head against that broken nose, trying to get his title back, and that's just not working for it.
No, and I actually noticed something strange on SmackDown, that during the promo, Barrett had the first version of the current Intercontinental belt with the textured look, and mm-hmm. then in the match itself, he had the current version.
Hmm.
Interesting.
I didn't notice. I feel bad. The tag titles were defended. Team Hell No was kind of frustrated because the Shield had been put in another match. And if they had had a neutral general manager, I'm sure they would have found a way to let Team Hell No face the Shield. Instead, they decided they were trying to figure out who they were going to compete against when they hear a racket on the other side of, on the other side of a wall, which was an easily movable partition where they caught a 3MB rehearsal.
Oh, no.
So our champions look at each other, and the answer was...
Yes! 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 Yes!
It was fun to watch, mm-hmm. because Slater bumps like a madman, and I, unlike the rest of you at the table, Drew McIntyre is a hell of a view, and I hate to say it, but I'm starting to see what WWE was seeing in Jinder Mahal. The guy's got the in-ring work. He's got the facial expressions. He can work. He can sell. And since he's the fun-loving man of the group, Stoneface, it's perfect. You know, this is one of those weird perfect storms. It's just so they are a lot of fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. They are.
U.S. title match. Who did Cesaro? Cesaro. I forget who he faced on Monday. But on Wednesday, I was planning on completely ignoring Cesaro Kali. I look at that on paper and I'm like, okay, first of all, Cesaro's got a bad hand. Do you really want to ruin his back trying to carry Kali?
He's managed to neutralize the clay. I think he could easily do it for Kali.
He did. Blew nice. My mind. I kind of zoned on most of the match, but when he set up for the neutralizer, I was like, holy, you know.
Yeah.
That's right. Cesaro did defend his U.S. title, and he called out Sergeant Slaughter. You couldn't get much more American than that, and all that was missing that was Slaughter didn't come out to the G.I. Joe anthem, so.
G.I. Joe.
Oh, hi, Muckamuck. So, you know, that I wouldn't call it a comedy match. In fact, I was very, you know, I'm very impressed that Sarge can still fairly go.
Yeah, but the rust is starting to show.
Yeah, but that chin just does not stop. underline that and send that, go back to the internet. Lantern Jaw of Justice. See, also Cena, John. Damn it. Although, speaking of the Golden Boy... To Mr. Cena, a good artist does not, shouldn't steal from other comedians. I'm going to skip the thing with the women's match because that was pretty much covered in the intro.
Unfortunately,
but you know, you guys know that we have our audio guy Jim Williams is the one who puts all this together. So to him,
Pony.
Anyway,
and that soft sound of aluminum crashing amongst each other—that would be Jim.
Yes, but Mr. Cena apparently had stayed up all night before Raw, watching DX New and Improved, just so that he could shoot on Ziggler, mentioning. The Spirit Squad, mentioning his caddy duty, and then they dropped crap from the ceiling on him and AJ.
grown.
It wouldn't be Cena without a poo-poo joke.
and it wouldn't be a proper end to 2012 without shit falling from the ceiling.
Poopy.
Exactly.
And it's just, you know, I just had my head in my hands about it, because if you're going to drop stuff off the... Well, no, they can't do that. Cena had specifically said, you know, Ziggler, you know, why aren't you, you know, what have you, you know, what have you done? You've been here for 7 years. What do you got to show for it? So he wrote himself in a corner so they couldn't drop the green paint.
Oh.
But Tom, Cena shooting just doesn't feel right.
Absolutely not, Nikki, because this is not part of what we expect from John. And when he does it, it just doesn't sound right. Doesn't like do. Doesn't
it,
seem.
It needs to be under the right construct. When he did his throwback, when he did his Thuganomics a while back, it worked then.
Yeah.
Not under the realm of Super Cena.
No, I mean, in the couple of things that he threw out there when he was feuding with Punk, that was fair, shoot for shoot.
Yeah.
Where he talked about, you know, he talked about the five moves of doom. There was another promo where he made a joke, where he made a Hogan joke. And, you know, that was fine. But that promo, at the top of the paper, I swear, they had CM Punk written there, and they just scribbled it out and handed it to Cena and say, here, read this. Huh.
Yeah.
It's not Cena's character to do something like that. And, you know, nobody knows Cena better than Cena, but fourth, he's not... That's not him.
No, it doesn't really feel like it. It just, like you said, it just doesn't click when he does it.
Right. It's you know, the other examples that like Ethan mentioned, when Cena broke out Thuganomics, you know, the Thuganomics stuff when he feuded with Rock, that was cool. That was fun. It was good to see it, but not here. No. Just did not work. Now, I'm guessing I'm the only one here who actually saw Raw Monday night.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
Outside of the Champions Choice matches, specifically the Kofi Kingston-Wade Barrett match, you really didn't miss much.
Then I'm kind of glad.
Just the fact that there was a lot of matches interspersed with the everybody gets a paycheck New Year's party.
That's kind of how they do it. They always just kind of joke around the last two or three shows of the year.
Which, don't get me wrong, is not a bad thing.
Yeah, but it's like you're ending the year with, ugh.
Yeah, the New Year's show, I was not impressed, neither was CM Punk. The Christmas Eve show was awesome. It was not aimed at us. It was aimed at the little kiddies. And I'll tell you what, you know, just keep your eyes peeled. Next Christmas, they're going to release a DVD on how Cena saved Christmas.
Oh, no.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm becoming physically ill at that, the notion of that DVD. But the kids will like it.
Yeah, it's something for the younger audience, because most of those kids didn't even realize that Santa was being played by Mick Foley.
Mm-hmm.
That was the adult bonus for the night, when Santa comes stumbling out and gives a stocking style socko. Actually gets in the ring and does bang bang, and I'm like, okay, the kids, there's a whole bunch of kids out there that went clean over their heads.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said, though, at the end of the year, they're just goofing around, because they're, you know, everything's done, everybody's taking a breath, because we're going to be getting into their busy season. We're getting,
yeah, and it is a well-deserved break because now we get into serious stuff.
Yeah.
Now it's pretty much the hell quartered, so to speak.
Yeah. This is the money. This is the money maker. The Rumble to Mania corridor is the craziest, busiest, and usually best written stretch of the year.
Yeah.
So, Tom, they've already started putting names in the hat for the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Cena's made his announcement. Sheamus has announced it. Orton has announced he's in. These are three guys that are not going to win the Rumble, I don't think.
And you can add another name to that. I'd like to announce that I, Dangerous Tom Delgado, will be entering the Royal Rumble.
If by that you mean the Pony Rumble, then yeah.
No, absolutely not.
Aww.
Oh, come on. We weren't going to make you wear the blue and white wig.
Oh, Jim, help me. Help.
How dare you?
How dare me? How dare you?
How dare me? How dare I? How dare you? How dare me?
But really? Who dares wins?
Really?
Really?
T-Bone.
T-Bone Johnny Football.
Hover round guy from the hover round commercial. Now what?
Jimmy! 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 Jimmy Fallon.
Oh. And with that, it's dead.
Okay. That's that.
Show for little girls. Pony Trump. Good God.
Let's get this train back on the rail before we're completely into the mountain.
Okay, back to the Royal Rumble stuff. I think all of us know deep down what's going to happen. I don't even need to say it.
Are you willing to pronounce it without throwing up on your microphone?
I am willing to pronounce it because it's what I'm seeing. What's exactly going to happen? Rock is winning the Rumble.
No, I thought Rock had the championship.
You know, no, I can see that. I can completely see that.
Well, wait a minute, but Rock is facing Punk.
Yes.
Yes. What the?
He's gonna pull a double.
The hell have I been reading?
Okay, the scenario I thought I was seeing was that Rock takes the belt off of Punk and Cena wins the Rumble.
Ugh.
Hmm.
Warning.
It's even worse.
That's what I'm afraid is going to happen, and that's really not going to make me a very happy Nikki.
No, we don't want Cena Rock 2 for the title.
Unfortunately, they foreshadowed that we're going to get there. I would just like a more creative way to get to it. I would rather not see Cena win his second Rumble. It's bad enough that I saw his first win in person. And for the record, anybody who's seen the Botchamania about that, Matthew did not alter the cheers. That is exactly our reaction. Holy shit, it's Cena. Oh shit, it's Cena.
Yeah. That's about
holy
right.
Holy shit, he wins the Rumble. Oh, shit. Oh.
No. He just had to show up, and they were saying, oh, shit. We already knew what was going to happen. You know, you could almost yes. hear the Superman music in the background behind his regular intro music.
Yeah, it's like everybody was like, oh, it's Cena. Oh, it's Cena.
Oh, fiddlesticks.
We were in New York. That wasn't quite what was being said. It was more something like,
that's about right.
So, I personally do not want to see Cena win the Rumble. I kind of like the idea of Rock pulling a double, but would he beat Punk?
No.
Okay, so he doesn't beat Punk, but he gets in the Rumble and he wins the Rumble.
And he gets his rematch.
I'd almost take that, but then what do you do with Cena?
Cena Ziggler at Mania. I mean, you finish off that series.
That's true. But if I had my choice, I don't know. I need to see a few more names and faces, and I've got my fingers crossed for some returns. We know that Evan Bourne will not make it for the Rumble. He is not he won't be cleared to go by the end of the month. He expressed such in a tweet. He says he is trying to get himself back, but his foot is just not. His foot's just not ready.
Yeah.
But Evan, you barely touch the ground when you wrestle. Does it matter? Or maybe it does, because you got to stick the landing. Okay. But yeah, it's early yet. We've got a few names. So I'll throw the question out there. Tom, who would you like to see as a surprise, as a return or surprise guest for the Rumble this year?
Well, every year, a couple of my friends think that Sting is going to come to WWE for a one-off in the Rumble or at WrestleMania, and every time I laugh at them because it's never going to happen. This year is no different. It's never going to happen. But as far as one-offs for the Rumble, I wouldn't mind seeing... I don't really know who really is out there, because the RVD's back with TNA, Jeff Hardy as well. I mean, Tommy Dreamer has been on WWE programming lately, so maybe Tommy Dreamer. Maybe, who else is there? I just want to see Tommy Dreamer back, because I love me the innovator of violence.
It was fun to see him a couple weeks ago when he showed up at a Philadelphia Raw.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Ethan, who would you take for a surprise?
Well, I've got something in mind. I kind of took some time to think about it. I think one of the surprise entrants, because you need to have another big guy in there. I think we see the return of Mark Henry.
Which he will return and go on his roaring rampage of revenge to find out who knocked up Mae Young.
the whole thing is that the concession table has still been very full because Mark Henry hasn't been there to finish it off. So it's pretty much a matter of someone's got to eat them cupcakes.
So okay, somebody
has to get their wig split.
Like I said, he's going to get out there and split some wigs looking to find out who knocked her up.
Somebody's going to get their lunch stolen.
Something like that. Fourth, who would you like to have show up?
To be honest, for some reason, I just keep hearing the opening of Psycho Sid's theme in my head and just thinking that would be an awesome thing to hear at the Rumble.
Yes.
Ooh.
You know what? That actually makes a lot of sense. We might see one of the, might see a few of the people from the build up to Raw 1000. I wouldn't be surprised if they get Bob Backlund.
That would be fun. I would like to see them send Billy Gunn out there, but Ziggler has to be in the ring at the same time.
Yes, so we need dueling facers.
Well, no. Here's the scenario. Ziggler's in the ring celebrating, you know, a few other people are down. Billy Gunn comes to the ring. Ziggler's facing the outside. Billy Gunn gets in the ring, and he's just standing there looking at Ziggler, and Ziggler turns around and looks up at him and goes, "Daddy!" I would pay a lot of money to see that happen. I would be sorely disappointed. Because I don't think it's going to happen. Anyway, I am trying to find out where the Rumble is this year. It is nowhere near me. I already know that much. and my internet does not like me.
At the U.S. Airways Center in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay. Because I've got my fingers crossed for a long shot in hopes that Jomo will come back. Just so that he and Kofi can trade insane saves from eliminations. I want me some Ninja Jomo. Heck, I just want some more Jomo. Anyway,
yeah, let's not lie. You have about 8 reasons you want Jomo.
Jomo.
I want my Jomo back.
Fan yourself, girl. Fan yourself.
just thinking about it.
Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh!
And there goes Jim.
I got nothing to say to you. Nothing.
I'm sure you have one. No, he does. He has one thing to say to me.
Honey, I did not say that. You just hit a button with my voice.
Yes, but it's fun putting words in your mouth.
Honey. Can I be fired?
You're going to have to try harder.
Oh.
Yep.
So, okay, here we go. Royal Rumble, Phoenix, Arizona. It's going to see what kind of seats were available, although I don't think I could get out there. There is one other thing that I'm going to brag about. Last Friday night, I got to go downtown to go see a SmackDown house show. So to close out 2012, I had the dubious honor of attending a Christmas WWE event, complete with Christmas tree on the ramp that should have been destroyed at some point during the show and was not. I am disappointed. quick rundown of the show. Alberto Del Rio wins a battle royal for a number one contendership for the Intercontinental title. Layla and Alicia Fox, who Alicia has faced this week, defeats Oksana and Tamina. Some of the spots in this match came up in the Layla-Tamina match that was on SmackDown. Barrett is given some mic time, and he's inserting himself in the Intercontinental title match, so now it's a triple threat. The next match is going to mess with people's minds. Fandango has arrived.
It's about time.
Let me make some room here. Let me make some room here. Hang on a second. And...
What was that?
That was a head desk.
And I'll just use a Nickyism here in that Fandango is just weird. Like if you get it, but don't explain the joke. Anyway, so he's out there trying to dance. Trying. Oh my goodness. The man knows a few steps, but this is a guy who needs to learn how to stick the landing. I've never seen so much. I haven't seen that kind of stutter stepping in a while.
Makes you wonder if he got his moves from Twilight.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, well, Fandango is still a better love story than Twilight.
Oh, that's true.
Rimshot.
I'll get my coat. I'll get my coat.
No. Unless you have to walk the dog, stay there.
Tip the veal, twy the way twist.
There you go. So, to give Mr. Curtis a proper opponent, somebody actually came out of retirement to wrestle him. By God, Jamin Noble. Comes a striding down to the ring and is in the ripped jeans. Blew my mind. They did put on a decent match, but as I said, Fandango was, doing the heel thing by trying to dance and failing miserably. That might be the point, but I just
it might be, but it's dumb. It makes you want to have Don Flamenco there instead of Fandango.
Pretty much.
Yes. 10 points if you get that reference, folks.
And in the words of JBL, Google it. Anyway,
yes.
Let's see. Ooh. As I pause on a picture of 3MB doing their air guitar solo. Slater on the Guitar Hero. Drew on the bagpipes. And Jinder on sitar. Air sitar is canon! Anyway, sorry. We had 3MB versus Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel. And I have a beautiful shot of Gabriel taunting Slater with a Wendy's chick sign from the front row. Two Wendy's chants in the course of the match, ladies and gentlemen. Match stops at one point, and they demand a rock off, essentially an air guitar contest, which, you know, the guys get to do their thing, and you guys have seen how 3MB gets really silly with their guitar things. At some point, somebody is on their back. You know, one of them is, you know, leaning over the ropes. So they were just being ridiculous. They didn't even give Kid and Gabriel a chance to do their thing. I do have a picture of the two of them doing one late in the match. Kid and Gabriel over 3MB. Let's see, the triple threat. Obviously, Kofi retains per the rules of the house show, but it was a good match. And Del Rio's getting over his face.
I'm kind of surprised by that, to be honest, because I never thought Del Rio could get over with his current character as a babyface. Just screams heel.
Yeah.
The root of his character is heelish, but they're, you know, they've turned that dial ever so gently towards face, because as I mentioned with Champion's Choice, when he was talking to Ricardo, he admitted to Ricardo, "I've been treating you like dirt."
Hmm.
And I was like, it's a little forced, but if you're gonna be face, you do need to admit that.
Yeah.
Does have to be forced. I mean, most of the face stuff does sound forced nowadays.
Yeah.
Let's see. We had all that. Scrolling through my stuff. The mixed tag on SmackDown was featured at this house show. With severe consequences for the losers. The loser would have to sing a Christmas song. So I was fully expecting them to make sure that Kali and Hornswoggle lost, and they would hand the mic to Kali to try to mumble out a Christmas tune. However, the good guys win. I wish to punish Primo and Epico for ripping Hornswoggle's shirt off. That is not a pretty sight from either side. Crack kills people.
Yeah.
So after the match, Primo and Epico are told they've got to sing a Christmas song. And Epico gets on the mic and he says, "Well, we only have one microphone. So only one of us is going to sing." He turns to the crowd. "You want me to sing?" Crowd boos. "You want Primo to sing?" Everybody boos. "You want Rosa to sing?" Everybody cheers. So they hand the microphone to Rosa, and she starts singing in English. They had picked Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I shouted across the arena that I wanted Feliz Navidad. I have another joke, and I'm not allowed to tell it on the air. She starts singing, and Primo and Epico bail on her, which she sees, and it pisses her off. Let's see. We get a 2-second squash where Michael McGillicuddy beats A-Rai because...
Damn.
There's a reason, though.
The reason is apparently, hey, Michael McGillicuddy and Alex Riley are still here.
That's one reason, but Gods, I almost wish Brian Henniger was here because he would know the answer to this. Fourth, why would McGillicuddy be able to beat another jobber like A-Rai?
Are they trying to rebuild him in some way, or?
Potentially. Tom, same question.
Maybe they're actually going to start acknowledging that he is the son of Mr. Perfect. I would hope.
You're on the right track. Ethan, you want to take a stab at it?
I'm going to take the physical challenge.
Ethan. This is not Double Dare, and Nikki is not Mark Summers.
The physical challenge.
It's the other Double Dare with Alex Trebek.
No. If on my show, the physical challenge involves furniture, and unfortunately, I don't have Brian Henniger here to give you the physical challenge.
Oh.
So, Tom, you are actually the closest. The answer is it's a Henning in Minnesota.
I am.
Figures.
That's one of those unwritten rules of wrestling. A Henning will never get booed in Minnesota. No matter what his name is. I give them credit for actually making the cage assembly quote-unquote part of the show, because normally they would push the intermission to late in the show and put the cage together and play a whole bunch of video packages. This time they actually had the dramatic dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun music, and the crowd really got into it as they were bringing all the pieces out, because the house show cage is not like the one you see on TV. Do I have any house show people here? Anybody who's been to a house show?
The last time I was at a house show, well, the first and last time I was at a house show was WCW LA Melee in 1998.
Okay, that's not going
to
help me.
Yeah, it's I've done it, but it's too old for me to qualify.
Okay. Tom, fourth?
The last time I went to one, there wasn't a cage match, so I don't know if I can help you there.
Okay. Tom?
No, I've never been to a house show.
Okay. Well, you guys know what the TV cage looks like, and it's usually lowered from the ceiling on a set of one-ton winches. The house show cage is actually 8 panels that are secured to posts that are hooked. 4 of them are hooked into the corners of the ring, and another 4 are hooked in the center of each side of the ring. So this is not a very sturdy structure. So what do? They throw the Big Show and Sheamus in it.
Oh, dear God. I think I know what's coming.
They did have fun teasing escapes. And during one such attempt by Sheamus, my side of the arena almost got the white of the moon.
Oh, jeez.
I miss that comedy spot at house shows nowadays. Now that Ric Flair is not touring, it's actually, anyway, that's just me. But yeah, a lot of the cage spots, the walls would flex in and out, and that would get the kids oohing and aahing. We had a couple of points where both Big Show and Sheamus were up on the ropes by the, trying to get out of the cage. The only time that Show attempted it, he was in the corner, which is the most secure part of it, which came to the one big spot of this, because they weren't doing a lot of moves, let's put it that way. Sheamus comes up to Big Show while he's up on the ropes, gets under him, and electric chairs him.
Wow.
For that, I wanted the cage in the ring to implode, vengeance style. I finally get to see Sheamus doing performing white noise on Big Show in person, which was pretty darn cool. Let's see. Finish was Show slips out the door of the cage to retain, while Sheamus is on the mat on pretty much on the other side of the ring. Show celebrates for a minute and looks back in there and sees that Sheamus hasn't quite got up yet. So he's going to go finish him off. Goes under the ring, gets a chair. Not that chair. It would have been worth my $80, though, if he had pulled the giant chair out. I wanted the giant chair. He gets a regular chair, gets in the ring, is going to take a swat at Sheamus, who punches him in the gut, makes Show drop the chair. Show takes the chair to the back and a boot to the head. Just to make sure that we send all the kids home happy. How about that? I didn't realize he was still with us.
I didn't realize he was awake.
Well, he didn't show up last week, so I better have a darn good explanation. Let's see. And the email reads, happy 2013. I hope everyone had a good holiday. All the good kids got the toys and all the bad kids got the clothes. He saw my Christmas pictures. Bastard. If you want, you might want to talk about TNA since they got another WWE guy out there. You could. And this being a new year, there should be all kinds of new speculations. Now there's an idea. That'll give us something to do after the break. Gentlemen, refreshments are now available and the restrooms are open. Let's take a little time out here and sell some soap. So we'll just take a couple minutes and we'll be right back with more news.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection on the CLW 83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking.
Hurricane Sandy left destruction and devastation across the Jersey Shore. Flooding and high winds left many residents without power, without a home, and without hope. With your help, that can all change. Operation Restore Our Shore, in cooperation with the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the United Way, and the State of New Jersey Department of Volunteerism, is committed to helping rebuild coastal communities impacted by Hurricane Sandy. To learn more about Operation Restore Our Shore, and to find out how you can help, visit facebook.com/Operation Restore Our Shore.
Year 2000, while struggling with bipolar disorder, I attempted suicide.
By the grace of God, I survived. Today, I am living a full life, reaching out to anyone who may be feeling trapped or hopeless. If you or someone you know is contemplating suicide, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK.
Roll the tape on this.
As the financial advisor to the North American Wrestling Connection, I'd like to say that we're apparently out of budget for the next 5 years. We had to order a tanker truck of brain bleeds this week.
I am a cunning linguist.
Watch it. Keep it G. That's just ignorant. And I'm sorry,
wow, you just went ghetto on us here. You just went ignorant.
What we instead got was Barry Horowitz versus Iron Mike Sharp.
Ooh, Jobber Central!
I will tell you something that Arian Foster doesn't do. He doesn't know why kids love Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
The CLW83 Network. Tune in.
Hello, this is the game showman Joe Van Ginkle, and you're listening to the CLW83 Network. Tune in.
Joe Van Ginkle, get out of my f***ing head!
We are back on the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Hayman with Ethan Muslin, with Tom Delgado, and Forth. Now, as you know, a lot of us don't watch TNA, and I...
At least voluntarily.
Admitted. It's not voluntary. Somebody put it on my New Year's resolutions, and when I find out who did that, I'm going to sick Mike Knox on him. Oh, wait. Now watch this segue. Mike Knox debuted as a member of Aces and Eights,
to the surprise of, well, no one.
Precisely. And because we've known for months that he was going to be one of the Aces and Eights. This is something I know that I'd been hearing all the way back in what, September, October?
Sounds about right.
So, but it's nice to know that, you know, they actually have him out there. The other question that is actually going around right now is that Bully Ray is not on TV. That will cost them ratings, because I will admit, you give him a microphone in 10 minutes, and you either love him or hate him.
Mm-hmm. He is that good on the mic.
Yes, he is. Actually, I'm probably look it up later, but I'm going to go look up a promo he did about 10 years ago when he actually got a world title opportunity that he had no chance in hell of winning. He came to the ring, he put a table in the corner, broke out some silver spray paint, and said, "This table is reserved!" And spray painted his opponent's name on it. And went on and just blew everybody's minds. Lost the match. It was Triple H. Lost the match. But, again, nobody gave him a chance in hell of winning, but it was still a good match. And this was late 2002.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
Thank you, Doc.
So, but Bully Ray is mysteriously not on TNA TV right now. And... since I'm not up on the storylines, do we even want to try to speculate on this, guys?
Probably not.
Well, let's see. Let me get my Russo hat on for a second. When Bully Ray gets back, he will join Aces and Eights, but he'll let D-Von be in charge.
That would be a Russo-esque move.
Somehow, at the very least, joining Ace and Eight seems like the likely option.
So, Tom, put your road cone on. See if you can figure out what they're doing with Bully Ray.
I haven't been up on TNA storylines because, lol, TNA. But...
putting it lightly.
Yes, I'm putting it nicely. If he's working as a heel, I don't see him switching. I think he's going to probably join the Aces and Eights heel stable. I believe they're heels.
Well, they're heels, and they had turned Bully Ray face. But if I know TNA, and nowadays it's just educated guessing, it'd be interesting to just to throw Bubba in the heel face revolving door and see if he does end up as an Aces and Eights guy.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I cannot stand. I mean, you can't. I don't know how you can pull a long-term success with a revolving door. Turn a guy one week, turn him again the next, and constantly do that with the Russo-esque swerves.
Well, with Russo gone, it's calmed down a little bit, but they still can't hit on all cylinders. They still can't get over the hump. They're still, you know, lol TNA 1.1.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, you know, what do I know? 2013 might be their year. And if Hogan steps in the ring, it's going to go down in a blaze of glory. So, but since we do have a new year in front of us, I was wondering if anybody would like to make some predictions. We promise we will not hold you to them. There are no prizes. There are no wrong answers. There's a whose line is it anyway joke, and I don't know the line off the top of my head.
The predictions don't matter, just like, well, I don't know. Something that doesn't matter.
Okay.
With that.
Yeah,
it was something like, there are no winners and the points don't matter.
Ah, there are no winners, the points don't matter.
Yeah, everything is made up and the points don't matter. That's right, the points are kind of like Fandango's career. It just doesn't matter.
Attaboy, Jim.
Thank you.
Yeah. Jim wins.
For that, I will not pony him. as he uses his fist to mute. Okay. So, Fourth, I'll start with you. Train of consciousness. Give us a couple things you think we're going to see this year.
I think we're definitely going to see TNA have a moment that either helps them to come back or just puts them further into a WWE video library. That there'll be that one defining moment this year for them.
Okay. Any big predictions on WWE?
Honestly, I can see them trying to find a way to convince Lesnar to come back for at least one more date than his contract would allow. I can see them trying to find a way to convince him to come back for a one-off after his contract ends.
Okay. That would be very simple. Just you just have to speak the proper language. Long green.
Yes.
Ethan, any predictions from you, sir?
Let's see. I can't really think of anything that's going to be a major thing in either the Fed or in TNA. I think that's going to be my prediction. There will be no major event. I mean, except for, you know, what you usually get out of WrestleMania, but we don't really count that. That's typical of WrestleMania. But there won't be any, you know, major high point moment on a Raw or an Impact or a SmackDown that's going to be like, holy crap, did you see that? It could just be a year of just kind of going, meh.
For all of our sakes, I hope And don't take this wrong, Ethan. I hope you're wrong.
I hope I'm wrong, too, but it just seems to me like the creativity is just kind of going out the window. It's like they'll try to force on a major moment, and we'll just be facepalming the whole time.
I'm with you. Hey Tom, you got any predictions?
I have an idea of what I want from 2013. I'm just gonna run through a couple of them.
One,
Bubba Ray and D-Von realize that TNA is going to be a sinking ship soon, and they return to the WWE for one last tag title run.
Okay.
As the Dudley Boys. Two, Hulk Hogan returns to competition, and TNA goes off the ledge. As much as I would not like to see the number two go off the ledge again,
mm-hmm.
I think Hogan's ego, wanting it to be about him, is going to make sure that happens. So Dudley's returning to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Hogan throws TNA off the ledge. And three, and most of all, the more Paul Heyman, the better, because we are all Paul Heyman people.
Yes, you're just saying... You're just saying that to stay on the show.
No, I'm not. I love me some Paul Heyman.
Not
best
that way.
But best interview in the business. Always has been, always will be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm being very bold about that, but you know what? Yeah, it's a new year. Damn it all to hell.
So, since Jim, you've been popping in and out, did you want to make some predictions?
This will be the year of Scott Stanford. No. damn it! Put it on TV! Oh, hi. I'm sorry.
No.
I've...
It's right up there with... Somewhere VRM is still screaming for his Punk and Bryan Iron Man match, so...
Well, I don't think that's going to happen this year.
To be fair, someone here is as well.
Oh.
We never got that true finish.
Well, I'm still hoping personally for, even though Ziggler's got bigger fish to fry, the as promised from Z True Long Island Story main event of WrestleMania, Ryder versus Ziggler, but I doubt that's going to happen.
Not this year.
No.
Be lucky if he gets on the show.
It would have been sick. But I have no bold predictions, quite frankly.
I've got a few in mind.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm digging the thought that that Brock will end up taking another date or two past the ones that he has in his current quote unquote contract. So I've got my fingers crossed for that. And if that's the case, that means the request for more Heyman will be fulfilled.
It will be, but we get to deal with Bork Laser.
Eh. Bork Laser has actually had time to get his ass in the gym and get him back into some kind of monstrous shape instead of staying at home shooting deer and banging his wife. Those are his words, not mine.
Yeah.
I see if the Shield doesn't break up post-Mania and they're still as a group, they've got a good shot at the tag team titles.
Mm-hmm.
Past WrestleMania, I think the WWE and World Heavyweight titles will at some point end up in the hands of Barrett, Ryback, and Ziggler. What bothers me, though, is if they do put the belt on Ziggler, it's not going to be very long.
No.
If they do it, it's going to be longer than his last reign. They'll actually give it to him for an entire day. I mean,
aww.
Dude, his original world title reign was, 10 minutes? So, they're going to give it to him, but he's only going to have it for a couple of weeks. He'll be a transitional, which is a shame. I want to be wrong about that. I think that Cassius Ohno and Xavier Woods will be on TV by then. it's just a matter of what kind of gimmicks. Personally, you know, Cassius Ohno could just show up as another member of the Shield. Xavier Woods depends on what they want to do with him. And I'm standing by my prediction that Jomo comes back at the Rumble. Please.
Wait a minute. If Ziggler wins the title, does this set up for a because this would be 7-year rule material, I believe, a major sex celebration or whatever with AJ, a la regular superstar?
God, no. I hope not.
Not even for a possible wardrobe malfunction?
Oh my goodness.
No. No. Just
no.
No.
Well, Ethan has no balls. We've learned that today.
Ooh, head desk.
I keyed.
I think that was me, sorry.
Since you're here, Muckamuck, I'm curious to see if you have any predictions.
Well, you know what, the agent spot, you know what's gonna happen already. Road Dogg.
Oh yeah.
Billy Gunn.
Oh yeah.
They will be in there and they're gonna eliminate one or the other.
Will it be amicable?
Hmm.
A la Booker T eliminating Goldust when they were still a tag team. Goldust looks up like, you know, what the hell, man? And Booker's like, you know, hey, every man for himself. And they actually, I think they, you know, they slapped hands or, you know, there was no bad blood between them after that.
Yeah.
But I'm really hoping that they, you know, they get to open things up a bit this coming year, that we're going to see new faces. You know, we're going to see new faces, not necessarily faces, heels faces, but new people with getting into the title pictures. If Shield breaks up, we've got two guys that are ready for B belts, just like that. 3MB, if they keep them together, they might get a tag title run. First, we got to figure out how to take Heath Slater seriously.
Nah.
No.
Do you think the old neutral nipples there will hold the belt for a while?
Whoa.
Be fair. Those aren't nipples. Those are pretty much pasties.
Oh my.
He's got a point, and when, you know, the first somebody had mentioned that on a message board, and then somebody photoshopped. That he did not he did not have man boobs, he just had man areolas.
I don't need that image.
Are you okay, Jim?
Nikki?
What?
Nikki!
Oh, all right. Brain bleach!
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And pony. Anyway.
Why do I keep coming back to this show?
For the camaraderie and the ponies.
Because you're going for punishment, Jim.
And to answer your question, Jim, yes, you are Tic-Tac, bro.
Inside jokes are the best kind of jokes.
Just like this one, Freddy's Wally A.
Yeah.
I'm just laughing at everything at this point.
Puppy. We better do some other material because I'm not gonna waste my laugh track. Definitely not gonna waste a laugh track.
I don't think I need it at this point.
Actually, no. What I need, Muckamuck, is I need a 1 minute uninterrupted thing of Tom Delgado laughing his ass off, and you could just use that as a promo clip.
I am officially the Charlie Steiner of this network.
Attaboy. Hey. Somebody hand him a tie that he can wear around his head and get him a lantern. So you already know your introductory quote for the next show. The next time you're on my show, follow me. Follow me to freedom.
Watch out for snakes.
Watch out for Evander Holyfield. He's around the corner.
Oh, this is lovely. This is lovely.
Oh,
gonna tap? Are you tapping out, Tom? Or is it, oh, we're probably getting to his neck too.
Yeah.
Tapping.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, tapped. Hey, tapped.
All right.
Okay, let's see. I've infuriated Jim with ponies. I've killed Tom Delgado. I've gotten some snappy repartee out of Ethan. And the requisite quiet sarcasm from Forth. My work is done here.
Yeah.
As I believe everyone's work is done for the day.
Yeah. I think, you know, we did quite a bit for the end of the year stuff. So I think we're going to go ahead and call it a show. So, gentlemen, before we do go away, though, Ethan, do you have anything to promote?
No, I'm going to withhold. I don't really have much to shill for, so I will
abstain?
Yeah, I will abstain and surrender the remainder of my time.
Fair enough. Forth, do you have anything to promote?
Just Typho Show, which is still there. Okay. Yeah. And VRM Show, when we get to do that one again.
Okay. Tom, are you still alive?
I am still alive. But I actually do have something I want to plug. I'm going to do the same thing that I did on BS Big Show earlier in the week and plug my YouTube channel, which has just completed, for the first time ever, well for me, it's a personal best for me, one series of playthroughs completed. And I actually completed a playthrough, a minimal heart playthrough of The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. You can check that out on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/user/SSIG94.
All
my
right.
Gaming broskies will get that reference. Mm-hmm. I hope they will, at least.
Holding yet. Do you have anything to promote?
Hmm?
I thought you might have something to promote, Jim.
Oh, I didn't hear my name called. I apologize.
Jim, promote something! Anyway.
Oh, yes. I shall promote the BS Big Show, which you can hear right now on CLW83.com. All sorts of fun, frivolity, and a distinct lack of those. How dare you?
How dare me? How dare you?
Oh, no, we're not going there yet. Not going down that road. Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent.
I have nothing to promote because I am right here. Though, I will say, in future episodes, I'm hoping to have more At the Guardrail segments. And if you would like to come to our Facebook page, I would love to get some comments. And if you listen to our At the Guardrail segment from the Nikki Awards, I just want to know, would you want to see this as its own show? Or would you like just to see it as a consistent segment with this fine podcast of ours, which is the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net on the CLW83 network. Nikki Heyman, for Jim Williams, for Carl Chenier, for Tom Delgado, for Ethan Muslin, and for anybody who is willing to put up with our nonsense, good day.
you have any questions or comments about this podcast, please submit them to CLW3Network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in.